Welcome to That Is Good to Know Radio Show. This program focuses on you, the listener, by providing you information, strategies, and practical educational tips from successful seasoned business professionals. Now, with today's program, here's your host, Jeff Stanislow.
Hello, and welcome to That Is Good to Know with your host, Jeff Stanislow. Hopefully you're having a great day today, Tampa. We're going to drop some knowledge on you. We have a special guest joining us going to talk about humanity, the purpose of life, and things of that nature that I think is going to be very, very informative. Welcome to the show today, Dr. Perna Bikasani. How are you doing today, Doc?
Thank you. I'm doing great, Jeff.
Well,
thank you.
We appreciate you coming on the show. You and I have known each other for quite some time, and we've had some philosophical conversations, and we agree on a lot of things that you cover and we're going to share today on the show. And I'm really excited to kind of get in. So Dr. Bikasani has wrote a book called The Joy of Life, and it's Effortless Work and Happy Living Through Self-Transformation. I had the privilege of reading the book. I have had the privilege of even getting a signed copy from the doc, and I can tell you it's fantastic. So, Doc, before we get started, maybe give us a little background on yourself and what you've done in your career, and then maybe what led you to write this book.
Yes, Jeff. I was born in India in a small interior village to parents who were peasants. And the lifestyle in my village was, at that time, was about 17th century agrarian type, where there's no electricity, no gadgets, no automobiles. And I haven't seen any such stuff until I got out of the village to a middle school. And at that time, the school was also very limited in primary education. I finished primary education. Afterwards, my parents could not send me out of town for secondary school. So I became a farmer for a year.
You were a farmer?
Yeah, I was a farmer for a whole year.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I was a good farmer. Even at that age, I used to do everything that my brother and my father used to do in the field. I was doing equal work and actually more work because I'm the youngest. They will ask me to do more, anything else more with
you got that youthful energy in the field. So you were able and blessed through education to study medicine, and then you were able to come over to the United States. Tell us about that transformation, you know, coming to the States, you know, and studying and then starting a practice here.
Yeah, when I finished medicine in India, I'm a very curious person. I was so curious to see how the West looks like. So I went to England for a while, and then I did further studies there. Afterwards, you know, you hear about America, the biggest and the greatest nation on the planet Earth. So then I decided to come to United States, studied further, and get the degree and qualifications to practice gastroenterology specialty. Then I chose Florida to practice, and I have been in Crystal River, Inverness area, Citrus County, for about 30 years I practiced in that county. And after I earned a decent name and legacy in the county, I have then retired to do some nonprofit work under the name of Awareness USA in the United States and Chaitanya Sarathi in India, both of which do mainly education, helping the underprivileged students.
Fantastic. Doc, we're going to talk a little bit more about your, you know, charity in a few moments, but this is Jeff Stanislow, and you're listening to That Is Good to Know. Visit our website, www.thatisgoodtoknow. And if you're interested in coming to the Valspar Championship this spring, we're going to be giving away a few tickets. So go to the website and fill out your information, and we'll see if we can send you to the Valspar. Doc, as we're moving forward here, so you had a successful career as being a doctor, gastroenterologist up north in the Crystal River area, and you've retired. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about what, you know, the book, you know, the book that you wrote, The Joy of Life. It was a, you know, a wonderful book, and I got to enjoy it. And one of the things that we talked about, the vehicle of joy, we're going to kind of dissect the vehicle of joy here on our show today. But what inspired you to write the book in the first place?
Yeah, when I started medical practice, I was a solo practitioner, extremely busy, covering two hospitals, three clinics in about 100-mile radius. I was running like a busy, busy bee to cover all this work. At that point of time, I read a book by Confucius. The one line in that book struck me pretty deep in my heart. It said, if you enjoy what you do, if you like your job, whatever the work you are doing, you'll be happy forever and you will never work for the rest of your life. So at that time, it struck me deep in my heart as to how to make my work enjoyable. At every time I come under extreme stress in my earlier in the medical practice, I always was reminding myself, how do I make it enjoyable and easy? And that's where actually the seeds of this book started. And all through my medical practice years, I have overcome that challenges of work stress, family stress, and any other stress that we face in our life to make it easy to oneself and to be more effective and efficient, yet not to be under stress. And that's the principles that are enunciated in the book.
Okay.
To live, how to make life easy, work easy, and enjoy life.
Well, I can tell you personally, Doc is the least stressed person that I know in my life. Get a chance to play some golf with him. And no matter what the shot happens, he's just always happy, enjoying it, you know, say better luck next time, very positive. And every once in a while, when I get a little temperate, you know, going on the golf course, Doc's like, relax, enjoy yourself. You're having a beautiful day. This is Jeff Stanislow, and you're listening to That Is Good to Know. And you can visit our website, thatisgoodtoknow.com. We're going to put some information on Dr. Bikasani, you know, for his nonprofit organization, awarenessusa.org, and his book that you can get. I highly recommend it. So, Doc, moving on to kind of like living a stress-free life and what have you, in your book, you kind of outline the vehicle of joy. And I think it was really kind of interesting. It's, you know, there's a drawing, it's of a vehicle, but it talks about, you know, wheels of change, the wheels of motion, engine affirmations, the purpose of life, body goals, wheel of time, wheel of space, and then steering opportunities. And I thought it was a very good analogy on kind of how we need to think about our lives. We're probably not going to be able to get to all of it in this episode, but I wanted you to kind of maybe, you know, take a couple of those principles, walk us a couple through some of the things that you think are really, really important for people to know and where and how they might be able to focus their lives and make some change in their lives.
Yeah. Jeff, the biggest thing that what I've learned is to be able to pursue the changes that happen in our life, in our at our work or in family, personal life, and change and adapt accordingly. The vehicle of life, which is a mere metaphor, has different wheels. Among the to make life easy, I felt the most important thing is that you should be able to deal with the changes that come in our life and adapt to properly. Most people resist by virtue of their habits and attitudes and orientation. They don't want to accept new things that come up, and they don't want to adapt it. And the struggle, that's where the stressful struggle begins and ends. So what I've learned is to be able to change with the changing situations. That's a fundamental thing, that's one thing.
Okay.
The second thing is also, somehow or somewhere or other, you got to lessen the conflicts and find the least path of least resistance to go through when there are conflicts come. and find ways of compromising, win-win principles, preventing conflicts in the first place. So these are two important things, the wheels of vehicle, that they both wheels got to be spinning constantly forward to avoid the conflicts. And if you did have a conflict, to resolve the conflict smoothly and easily, and willing to change on time, that's the those are two important wheels in life to avoid stress and to be happy.
So it's interesting, and you bring that up, and it makes sense. I know oftentimes, you know, life throws you challenges, throws you curveballs. I think one of the things that we've been conditioned here in the United States and for a lot of people is like they want to tackle it head on and tackle it immediately and then try to figure out a resolution to a situation or a problem. I know me, it's I kind of like if I get an email and there's some type of, you know, action that needs to happen, I feel like I have to take immediate action. And then, you know, you get 50 emails and all of a sudden you feel like you're stressed out for that day, you know, depending on whatever the complexity of the request or the challenges that head in your way. I think really, you know, take a minute to breathe, take a minute to analyze the situation and actually determine, like, does it merit a response from me? Do I need to send that to someone else to handle? Or at least prioritize it to when that it could be taken care of. Would you kind of agree with that that assessment in how we kind of act in the West, you know, very quickly and without a lot of thought, and then those things just keep on piling up and create the stress factor?
Yeah, I think the Western culture as such is distinct from the Eastern culture. The Western culture has... it's built into time is money, capital orientation. Everything has to be done quick, rapid gratification. These are all the attitudes of the Western culture. So they want things done somewhat immediately, mechanically, as opposed to Eastern culture is every issue that comes, they take their time, they respond a little slowly, and they may not be as aggressive and have some empathy of understanding others better. And also, interestingly, this is an important point. In the Western countries, if you admit any mistake, it's a big deal because you can be sued, you could be, you know, liable. Any mistake that you do, they say, you made a mistake, you pay for it. But in the Eastern culture as such, that's not the case. If you made a mistake, you say sorry. There's no real punishment or something that you have to pay compensation. That's not the general ethics in the Eastern community. If you say sorry, you made a mistake, you accepted it, that's big thing that has to happen. So there is a room to negotiate such situations there. But in the West, you can't admit easily. The moment you say, yes, you are sorry, you made a mistake,
you're accepting liability, or you're accepting responsibility and therefore liability.
Attorneys will line up on you and punch on you to get the best what they can. So the issue is, you know, there is a subtle differences the way people respond and react. It depends on the socioeconomic factors within the countries and cultural backgrounds. That's where we are. So, yes, quick response, denying anything that is conscientiously even acceptable in your mind, but you can't accept because liabilities are higher. You need to defend yourself. And then attorneys also always take one point of view. They are defending one person, not the other attorney defends the other side. So, basically, they both are never trying to identify the issue and resolve the root causes. Instead, they're defending and compromise somewhere and settle the issue. So there is a big difference between approaches about how we live our lives. I think it's a bit mechanical in the West and more softer and empathy on the East.
So we're listening to Dr. Perna Bikasani, the author of a fantastic book called The Joy of Life. This is Jeff Stanislow, your host of That Is Good to Know. Visit our website, www.thatisgoodtoknow.com, and you'll be able to see some of the information that we put up on Doctor, including his book and his nonprofit organization called Awareness USA. And we're going to probably dive into Awareness USA in another segment and focus specifically on the giving part of The Joy of Life, where we can dive into that. But, you know, you mentioned, Doctor, about the East versus West and the cultural difference and things of that nature. And I think, and you bring up a good point about litigation. It usually, you know, it's kind of like you have an attorney, your attorney's representing your one side, and then there's another attorney representing the other side, and they don't, it takes a long time before them to kind of mitigate and really understand, you know, what the situation is and try to work a resolution. Now, I don't know if what's kind of behind that. I mean, I guess billable hours, you know, if you're an attorney and you can work with a client and defend the position and bill hours to it, and then just have the, in anything, whether it's business or life, you know, personal, you know, divorce or, you know, real estate transaction that there's some discrepancies on. At the end of the day, I mean, I think there, you know, should be some type of mechanism that triggers, like if an attorneys can get together and resolve your situation quickly, that they can earn some type of bonus versus worrying about, you know, billing hours and fighting tooth and nail and doing all this type of stuff. But it's probably for another conversation, Doc. But we appreciate your input on that. So tell me a little bit about, you know, in your vehicle of joy, you talk about affirmations. How important are affirmations in your life? And, you know, we see them on the internet, we see them on social media, but, you know, how can one really, you know, dive into, you know, using affirmations to help their life?
Affirmations, I know the people have a different viewpoint. So some people don't think affirmations are that contributory, but in my case, they're extremely helpful. In what way you may say, for example, my first affirmation was to, when I meet or greet anybody, they ask you, how are you, Doc? I say, I feel great. That phrase, I feel great, every time I say that to patient after patient, I meet about 30 to 40 patients, 10 nurses and my staff, another 10, 20 people. So when I meet and greet them in that phrase that I feel great, it really feels good. First thing is, what happens when you feel great? The happy hormones release. Your body gets stand up properly, shoulders pull back, chin up, and you crown of the head goes up. And you body language changes, mind changes, body hormones changes. It's just a great feeling. It's so great that even in my sleep, if somebody wakes me up, say, how are you? I'll say, I feel great. It just, and not only that, it's infectious. It is infectious to my family, my friends, as well as my employees. It just builds up a body, happy hormonal dopamine, etc. Hormones are released in the body and just feels good. That's one example of that, affirmations. Affirmations have done wonders for me, and that's how I have several affirmations, but this is one of those affirmations I mentioned to you.
I agree completely. This is Jeff Stanislow, and you're listening to That Is Good to Know, the website, www.thatisgoodtoknow. And we're talking with Dr. Perna Bikasani, author of a wonderful book called Joy of Life, and talking about affirmations. And I know just, you know, whether it's a thought of an affirmation or, you know, taking a time to pause and reflect, or maybe even spending some time in the word and your faith, and, you know, it can change your complete mindset. What I try to do is, you know, I'm usually fairly quick tempered sometimes, but now as I get a little older, I'm actually trying to pause and reflect. And oftentimes, you know, we get into this mode where we see all the pressures of the economy, all the pressures of the world, Everybody seems to be doing, you know, wonderful in your social media feed, and all their lives are perfect, and you kind of like get down on yourself. But you know what I've noticed is when I take time in the morning and I give thanks, you know, and I pray and I give some daily affirmations in regards to that, it just starts my day off so much better. I'm such a better attitude, you know, and spending time. And I usually do that when I walk the dogs. So tell us a little bit about what you kind of, your thoughts on, you know, an affirmation routine, and, you know, maybe your thoughts a little bit on spending some time in faith.
Yeah, I think affirmations are good to actually first remember themselves. It takes maybe a week or two, but it is better you remember all the affirmations. The reason is, when you remember it, it's easy to practice it. In the beginning of those affirmations, when I was just writing on the book, the practice wasn't as good. But once I memorized the affirmations, then you remember it very well, you repeat it. I would recommend that we do all the affirmations. I don't want to be too many either. You can always recircle them, bring a new one that applies best for you. Several of them is fine. And it's better to practice at least once a day, as you said, sometime in the morning before you go to work. But one of the affirmations that I always repeat in a day, several times a day, is this. Whenever I run into a problem or a challenge, this is the thing. Our challenges are the ones that we have to take it positively and analyze and act on them. So that's the reason. Every issue that I get at that time, I remember my affirmations. Every problem is an opportunity. That's a very, very important affirmation to me. Any problem I see, what is my opportunity here? That's what I look at it. It may be I'm facing a real serious issue in the office, or maybe at the conflict at the medical meetings, whatever it is. Every problem when I encounter it, I am following with a question and I'm reminding my own affirmations. What is my opportunity here? This is a very, very good way to take away stress. While you are thinking about a problem or you're dealing with the problem, or you're in panicking or you're worried about the problem, immediately you're questioning yourself, what's my opportunity? And inevitably, there is some opportunity. It may be just back off from the problem. It may be a partial opportunity. It may be something that you can, you know, put that in the back burner and sure, come back again. So many opportunities are there.
I think you kind of hit the nail on the head with looking at some of the challenges. And the opportunities can come in different ways. A problem can be an opportunity to resolve, but it's also a problem can be an opportunity to learn from. You can, you know, spend a little bit of time understanding the background of the problem and the situation. Oftentimes, you know, coming up with a resolution before the problem grows, because we know problems grow. This is Jeff Stanislow, and I'd like to thank Dr. Perna Bikasani, spending some time here today with us, talking about his book, The Joy of Life. Tune back in. We're going to talk to Dr. Bikasani a little bit more about his organization, Awareness USA, and kind of like the nonprofit world and, you know, the power of giving and the power of sharing. So, Doctor, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Jeff. Thank you very much for inviting me to join you.
And again, you can visit www.thatisgoodtoknow.com and get some listen to this episode again if you got some value out of it, and listen to all the great episodes that we have on this show, dropping knowledge on Tampa and the world. We appreciate it, and have a wonderful day, Tampa.